Let us open our Bibles to the Old Testament, to the book of Isaiah, the 55th chapter of Isaiah, and read the entire chapter. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk without money, and without price. Wherefore do ye spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Incline your ear, and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Behold, I have given him for a witness to the people, a leader and commander to the people. Behold, thou shalt call a nation that thou knowest not, and nations that knew not thee shall run unto thee because of the Lord thy God, and for the Holy One of Israel, for he hath glorified thee. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. For ye shall go out with joy, and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the fir tree, and instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree, and it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. The text for this afternoon's sermon, which is also a preparatory sermon for the Lord's Supper, is especially verse 1. Of Isaiah 55, Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat, yea, come buy wine and milk, without money and without price. Dear congregation, the gospel is pictured for us in different ways in the Bible. Sometimes it is pictured for us as a wedding, or a wedding feast, as Jesus tells us in Matthew 22 about this great wedding feast to which people are invited. Sadly, people make excuses why they can't come to that wedding feast. But that is one of the ways in which the gospel is pictured as a wedding or as a wedding feast. Did you know that the gospel is also pictured as a marketplace where things are bought and sold, a marketplace like you would have in the middle of a town or city or village where people are trying to sell their wares, and these voices are raised above all the noise in which these vendors are trying to advertise their wares. And that's how we hear the gospel in the opening verses of Isaiah 55. As those who are called and to whom wares are offered at the market of free grace. That's what you can write over the sermon, the market of free grace. We'll see four things. First of all, the calls issued. Secondly, the goods offered. Thirdly, the customers invited. And fourthly, the buying called for. The market of free grace. First of all, the calls issued. Secondly, the goods offered. Thirdly, the customers invited. And fourthly, the buying called for. So we've turned this afternoon, dear congregation, to the book of Isaiah, and then this, what is sometimes called the second book, the second half of the book of Isaiah, which is sometimes called the book of comfort. That comfort would be needed for God's people when, because of difficult days they would experience as they'd be taken into exile in Babylon on account of their sin. But the second half of Isaiah would set forth the grace of the Lord for people groaning in exile. But the Lord, yes, has comfort to give for them. The Lord is not done with His people. Why not? Well, because of the suffering and death of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what the prophet set forth in Isaiah 53, the sufferings of Christ. In chapter 54, he has set forth the blessings for the church. And in chapter 55, the grace of the gospel. Now, 53, the sufferings of Christ. 54, the blessings for the church. And 55, the grace of the gospel, the free grace of the gospel, in which you hear the compassion of the Lord for undeserving people. God is not indifferent towards sinners. No, He's deeply moved with compassion. You can read that throughout this book of the compassion of the Lord. And you can hear that compassion from two little words that let us hear these calls of God at the marketplace. The first one is ho. The second one is why. Ho in verse 1 and why in verse 2. The calls issued. Ho. He's calling for our attention. Like a vendor at the market. And maybe you've been to a marketplace and you've seen these vendors at work at the marketplace, those people who raise the pitch of their voices and they're not afraid to shout and to try and get our attention. Now that's what the Lord does here. Ho! He's not mumbling to Himself. No, He's calling for your attention. He wants your attention. Don't ignore this. Pay attention here. The Hebrew didn't have exclamation points like we have. Ho is the explanation, the exclamation mark in the Hebrew. You there, listen to this. And how does the Lord say it? Does He say it like an angry father? No, it's a word that speaks of tenderness and a word that speaks of compassion. It's a word of someone who knows our need, who knows our misery, who knows our pain, and who says, as a vendor, but I have something to give to you in your need. I have gifts for you, provisions for you, a love for you, a listen. Ho! Secondly, why? Why? Verse 2, wherefore do ye spend your money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Why? The Lord knows our need. He knows that we have been made for fellowship with God. That fellowship in order to know Him, in order to commune with Him, in order to fellowship with Him. But in our fall in Adam, in our sin, we left God. And we have this emptiness inside, this ache in our souls, this thirst, this hunger. We know the picture of thirst. Our lives begin with thirst. Why does a baby cry? Because the baby's thirsty. And what do we do with the dying? We make the lips of the dying moist. wet, as if we can give them a drop of water. Or if someone's gone through surgery and they can't drink before the surgery and after the surgery, they are so thirsty. And if you're in the desert or in some other place where it's dry under the scorching and beating sun, there's nothing worse than being thirsty. And if we're starving, then only food will help us. And not games, not trinkets, not sand, not ocean water, but food. But ever since the fall into sin, we try to satisfy our soul, our thirst, our hunger with something. And the Lord asks, why do you try to satisfy your soul with this or that? I mean, what is it for you? Well, what would you write on a piece of paper in answer to the question, this is what I try to fill the emptiness in my heart with? Maybe someone says, if I have enough money, Pastor. What are you spending your time on and your money on? Is it your truck? Is it your business? Is it your work? Is it stuff that has the priority in your life? Is it maybe the bottle of alcohol? Is it sin? Young people, is it the distractions of your phone and the internet? Or is it the pursuit of pleasure, the pleasures of sin? Or maybe you're trying to fill the ache of your soul with a relationship, like the Samaritan woman. And when she didn't find her happiness in relationship with one, she sought and looked for it in another, and she was left with more heartache and more pain. And that's how everything else but God leaves you more thirsty afterwards than before. The emptiness inside is greater, the ache more painful. And the Lord says, why? Why do you do that? Why do you go there and do that? Why do you gravitate back to those websites, back to that sin? Why the treasures of the world? Why the pleasures of sin, which are only for a season? What will that thing that you have first in your life, whereby you're trying to satisfy that empty ache in your soul, what will it do for you when you have to die? What are you trying to satisfy your soul with? When I'm the only one, the Lord says, who can satisfy your soul's deep yearning. Ho. And why? Two words. Striking calls which this heavenly vendor issues at the market of free grace. Words full of mercy. Words to make us stop. And to make us turn to Him. But what does He have to offer? Our second point, the goods offered. What are the supplies He offers? What is the merchandise He holds forth at the market of free grace? Our text speaks of four different supplies. Water, wine, milk, and bread. And when you hear that list, then it should become clear that this is what you need. These wares are absolutely necessary for you and me to travel from this life to the next. And the Lord is saying, I have for you what you can't do without. I have what you need. Let's look at these four things. Water, first of all. Water, it's one of the essentials of life. You can't live more than a few days without it. And especially in those lands where drought is a real threat, or a desert place where water can be scarce. No, you can't do without water. You know that yourself. Maybe, young people, you've been out on a hike and you forgot to take water along. Especially in the scorching heat, then your throat is parched and dry and you need water. And if someone's throat is dry and parched, then you give water to them. We can't live long without water. Now that's what Jesus offers, doesn't he? The water of life, the water of salvation, the water to refresh and revive the soul because we're dry and dead of ourselves. Here is water that refreshes, the water of life. Secondly, a wine. Wine that gives a picture of joy, gladness. Psalm 104 says that wine that maketh glad the heart. That's what the Lord Jesus has come to bring. To make miserable people happy. To give the joy of salvation. To restore sinners in fellowship with God. He has come to give wine. Spiritual wine. And how much do not God's people need this? What sadness do they not meet with in their life? What grief? What troubles? There are infirmities that remain in them. They backslide. The devil assaults. And we're maybe more heavy in spirits and more filled with sadness. Maybe you feel that, especially since looking back at the last Lord's Supper. Or maybe the heaviness of your heart is there more than when you began your Christian life. But the Lord has wine to give. A wine of salvation that maketh glad the heart. Thirdly, milk. Milk. Milk gives nourishment. It's what babies need to grow. It's, parents say that, right, boys and girls? Drink your milk. It will make you strong. It's good for your bones. Yes. Water is what you need if you're gasping for life. Wine, if you're sorrowful. Milk. For nourishment and growth. And the Lord has milk to give. The sincere milk of the Word, 1 Peter 2 verse 2. He has that milk to give, the milk of grace, so that your soul is nourished and sustained, and so that you can grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Can make you strong, a strong believer. Give further assurance. Deepen the faith. Yes, desire the sincere milk. It's a sincere milk of the Word. He gives it. There's water, wine, milk, and bread. Bread's mentioned in verse 2. Now bread is also one of those necessary foods, especially in the days of the Old Testament and in the days of the New Testament. Today, I know we have so many different varieties of bread, and it's wrapped in plastic. But for the Jews, bread was this staple food, a basic food that you needed to live. And bread is suitable for all kinds of people. And bread is, yes, a needed food, a suitable food, and a daily food. It's what the Lord gave in the wilderness to His people. Manna from heaven. And that's how we hear the Lord Jesus at the market of free grace, offering Himself. And He says, that's me. I am the bread of life. I'm the one that satisfies your soul's deep yearning. Did you get the picture here? At this market of free grace, the Lord has provisions to give. Heavenly provisions. The blessings of salvation. The provisions of mercy. The things that Paul will write about in Ephesians 1. Those spiritual blessings that are in Christ Jesus. Ephesians 1 verse 3. Or as he writes a few verses later, the riches of His grace. And He'll list them, the pardon of sins, the peace with God, the adoption of children, the love of God, the saving mercies in Christ. There are these gospel provisions, people. These gospel provisions at this market of free grace. That's what we need. Gives life to the soul, gives comfort, gives gladness. And it's the things that are set forth in the Lord's Supper. The supplies of grace and the supplies of salvation. Without it, we cannot live and die happily. Have you seen that? You've seen that you need these supplies. These spiritual wares that the heavenly vendor offers. Which, as verse 2 tells us, is of good quality and plenty in quantity. Verse 2 says that they're good and there's abundance that's in view, especially with the word fatness. The quality and the quantity. You won't have any lack with me. If you come to me, I have water of life to give that will fill you. I have bread of life that will satisfy you. I have the milk of salvation and the wine of mercy. I wonder if you have ears for this call of the heavenly vendor as this afternoon our church is made into this market of free grace. And he holds out these wares of grace. Do you hear it? His call? When you hear of water and wine and milk and bread, do you say, where is it? And who can come and get it? That's our third point. The customers invited at this market. The customers invited at this market. Who are the customers at this market? Who are invited to come and buy these wares of salvation? And then when we listen to our text, we might be surprised at the customers that are welcomed. The customers that are invited. There are two things that describe them. For one thing, they're thirsty. Ho, everyone that thirsteth. The call goes out to those who are thirsty, spiritually thirsty. And you can say, well, that's everyone. I know it is everyone. Everyone, boy, girl, man, woman, they have this thirst in their souls. I know people deny it, people ignore it, people say, I don't feel that thirst, but there is this spiritual thirst in the heart of every human being. Because we were created for fellowship with God and communion with God, to know Him and to love Him, to have a relationship with Him, but because of our sins, we've been separated from Him and we've lost fellowship with Him. And instead of rushing to Him in love and devotion and seeking our satisfaction in Him, we seek it horizontally. We seek it in the here and now. We seek it in the creature rather than in the Creator. Jeremiah 2 says that we have forsaken God, the fountain of living waters, and hewn out cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. We've turned from God who can quench our thirst, and we've exchanged Him for broken cisterns that leave you empty. And whatever it is, we can't fill that emptiness. We can't quench our thirst in the stuff of this world. I wander in a desert land where all the streams are dry. Ever felt this dryness? Ever felt it in church? Sometimes people think I want to feel myself full in church. Well, sometimes you feel yourself more thirsty in church. This thirst for God, this thirst for His grace. Having tried the broken cisterns, have you found that they failed and they left an aching void? We need the Lord, friends. Only the Lord can satisfy. You seen that? Deep down you need God. And the psalmist of Psalm 42 realizes that. I thirst for God. My soul thirsts for the living God. And it's what the Lord wants to uncover you to your thirst. as he did with the Samaritan woman. He wants to uncover you to your thirst. He wants to uncover you to your sins and how you've pursued this, that, and the other thing that haven't satisfied your soul. And he wants to uncover you maybe for the first time, but again, also in this week of preparation for the Lord's Supper, uncover you to your thirst and this spiritual emptiness and ache inside so that you come to abhor yourself and humble yourself before God and seek for life and salvation, the quenching of your spiritual thirst in the Lord himself. Do you hear the call? Oh, everyone that thirsts, thirsty ones, the call comes to you, comes to those who are aching inside, empty inside. And if you say, Pastor, I have nothing to pay with, this seems to be for the wealthy. I remember my wife took me to New York City. This is when we were still dating each other. She took me 2 weeks before 9/11 to New York City. And she took me to these shops and to these places for the rich and famous, where the price tag was way above what we can afford. Maybe you've been places like that. Places where the rich and wealthy shop. That's where they get their clothes and their provisions. And you say, well, that's out of my price range. And you might think the same here. That with such supplies, such provisions of salvation, this living water, this joy-giving wine, this milk that nourishes the soul, this bread of life, well, that's got to be out of my price range. That's got to be for the elite. That's got to be for the rich. That's got to be for the well-to-do, those who have something to bring to God. How can the poor pay for that? How can the homeless afford that? I mean, if you walk in a city downtown somewhere and you see a homeless beggar passing a jewelry store, that homeless beggar can't buy a diamond at that store. Or if that homeless beggar passes a fancy restaurant, a five-star restaurant, he can't afford to buy dinner there. Maybe he smells the food. It smells good, but it's not for him. And if he goes to the door, the door will be shut in his face. But that's the difference here. The Lord invites the thirsty at first of all. And the bankrupt, secondly, that the poor and the bankrupt can come. He that hath no money. Now, which businessman, which store owner, which merchant would ever think of selling all his wares for nothing, free of charge? That's not what we do. But God does. It's the market of free grace. There's, after all, nothing that we can bring, nothing that we can do to purchase the gifts of salvation. There's nothing that we can do to purchase the water of salvation and the wine of joy and the milk and bread of life. It can't be bought by us, but he gives them. They're free gifts of God. No, we find that hard to believe. Maybe in this week we'll find this hard to believe, that we think we have to bring something to the Lord first. Maybe my religion, my prayers, my Christian upbringing, and that I didn't do this sin, and I didn't go that path, and I did this good thing. Or someone else wants to bring their broken heart to the Lord, their contrite spirit. Maybe someone says, I want to bring my self-knowledge to the Lord. If only I knew more of my sins and felt them, and if only I was better. And that's how we can keep looking for things in ourselves also in this week of preparation. But the point is that if it's right, by the Spirit's grace, you find that you have nothing. And you are nothing. And you can do nothing without the free grace of God. And then you hear this afternoon, "Ho, everyone that thirsts, and he that has no money." He doesn't want you to bring anything but your sin and your guilt and your hard heart and your lack of qualifications. He wants you to come. Just like that young person who was struggling with her sins. She had met a minister. And the minister had wanted to talk to her about her soul, and she didn't want to talk about that. But the few words that the minister said made her uncomfortable, and it troubled her. And she met the minister again some weeks later and said, "No, ever since I met you, I've been troubled, and I don't know how to come to Christ. What I need to do." And he said, "Come just as you are." Then that's how she went home, and she came to him, and later on said, drafted that poem, "Just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come." That's the way. "Nothing in my hands I bring, simply to thy cross I cling." The thirsty are welcome. The bankrupt are welcome. Customers at the free grace market. I wonder if that's you. Are you such a customer? What is it that you want? What is it that you desire? Is it the water and bread of life? Is it the milk and wine of salvation? Is that what you want? Is that what you desire? Is that what you need? Is it what you want every day? Is it that uncover to your sin and emptiness, but you need His riches and you need this grace? And that's the customer at this market, who doesn't need to bring anything but his sin, his hard heart, his guilt. Yes, come, thirsty soul, come without money, and come without price. But how do I partake of this? How do I enjoy these wares? The fourth point is the buying called for. The buying called for you see, it's not enough to know that the Lord offers this salvation. And it's not enough to be thirsty. God calls the thirsty and the hungry to faith. He calls them to come and buy and eat. He wants to have an exchange with you. He wants to have a meeting with you. He wants you to come and partake of the blessings of salvation, the bread of life, the water of life, the milk and wine of salvation. He wants you to come and receive it in Jesus Christ by faith. Yes, come, buy, eat. That's a call to faith. Yes, a call to a simple faith. It's a call that says you can't stay at a distance. He wants you to come to Him. And He wants this exchanging to take place. There has to be this receiving. There has to be this eating and this drinking. The Lord doesn't want you just to learn about spiritual food and drink. I mean, that might be interesting. It might be interesting, boys and girls, to do a school project on milk and to learn all about milk and about cows from which the milk comes and how they produce the milk. And you can hear lectures, I'm sure, about milk. But after you've done that project, and how in-depth it may be, there's nothing like taking a glass of milk and drinking it down to the last drop, swallowing it all. There's nothing like tasting it by experience. And that's what faith does. That's what faith does. It comes, buys, and eats and drinks. And how does the Lord work that faith? Do I have to work that up somehow? Just to try a little bit better? You know how the Lord works that faith? He does it by His Word. That's what He says in verse 2. Hearken diligently unto me. Verse 3, incline your ear, hear, and your soul shall live. Because in that, listening to His voice, faith cometh by hearing. And that faith which the Spirit works makes you hear His voice in the preaching of the gospel, and it draws you to Him. Shows you that this exchange is needed. You come handing over your sin. And what else can you bring? Handing over your guilt. And He gives you His provisions of mercy and of grace. And He says, I don't want you just to put this in your cupboard at home. I don't just want you to store it somewhere. I want you to enjoy it. I want it in your mouth. I want you to open your mouth wide, and I'll fill it so that you come to taste of my salvation, and you taste and see that God is good, and your soul melts at His goodness, and His love fills you. That's the way. Ho, everyone that thirsts, come to the waters. He that hath no money, come buy and eat. Yea, come wine and milk without money and without price. And as He set you coming, and though the story is told of a bitter, a cold, snowy day in London, England, quite a number of years ago, a minister was on his way to visit some of his members in a poor district of London. And as he's making his way to visit, he sees a man with a basket, and that man is shouting, "Herring! Herrings for sale, 3 a penny! Red herrings, good and cheap, 3 for a penny! And this vendor is passing along the streets, and he comes to where the minister stopped to watch him, and he shows these herrings to the minister, and he holds out his hand, and he shows him the herring for the minister to inspect, and he asks, "Don't you think that they're good, minister? And don't you think that they're cheap?" And the minister agreed they were good, and they were at a reasonable price. But he said, "You know the reason why I can't sell them? It's because the people here have no work. This is the poorest neighborhood in London. These people don't have a single penny." And so the minister asked him, "How much will you take for all of them?" And the vendor said, "I'll take 4 shillings. And the minister reached into his pocket, found that amount, and handed the 4 shillings to him. And then the vendor asked him, "Now what shall I do with them?" And the minister said, "Well, go around the corner into the middle of the road and shout as loudly as you can, 'Herrings for nothing! Herrings for free! And give to every man 3. Every woman, boy, or girl who comes to you, to give it to them for free till your basket's empty.'" And hesitatingly this man went, and he began to cry out at the top of his voice, "Herrings for nothing! Herrings for free! Good herrings for free!" And he saw a tall woman standing close by from a window watching, and he comes close to her and says, Herrings for nothing! Here's your opportunity!" The woman shook her head unbelievingly and turned from the window. A child came to look at him, and he offered the little child to take the herrings to his mother, but the child seemed afraid and ran inside, and that's how it went down the whole street. At the vendor, he returned to the minister, and the minister said to the vendor, "I'll come with you." And they both began to shout. And when the people recognized the minister, they all came out, men and women, boys and girls. They were all eager to reach the food, and they handed out three to each person until the fish was all gone. By then, a crowd had gathered, all asking for free herrings, but they came too late. And disappointed, that tall woman, whom the vendor had offered to first, began to rebuke the vendor and asked, "Why is there none for me? Am I not as good as the others? Are not my children as hungry as their children?" And the vendor said, "Well, Pastor, that was the very first woman I offered them to, and she turned away. And she cried passionately, but that's because I didn't believe you meant it." And the vendor said, "Unbelief will do that to you, but it's your own fault. You have no one else to blame for your unbelief." You see, friends, what unbelief will cost you, what unbelief will cost your children if we turn away at the market of free grace. Instead of coming, and instead of believing, and instead of saying, "Nothing in my hands I bring, simply to thy cross I cling." Yes, the cross. For while it is free for you and me, it did come at a cost. A great cost. Isaiah 53 speaks about that. "The chastisement of our peace was upon him." Jesus had to pay the price of his own blood. Forsaken of his Father, enduring the hellish agonies, and he cried out, remember, boys and girls, "I thirst." And his thirst was not quenched at Golgotha's cross, in order that a fountain might be opened for the thirsty souls and the bankrupt hearts. And you may come today. You may come for the first time. You may come again to buy, telling him, "Lord, I have nothing to bring. I'm a guilty sinner. I'm bankrupt. But I need this water of life, and I need this bread of life, and I need this milk and wine of salvation." And he gives it. As a rich Savior for poor sinners. But where is this market, you ask? Where can I find it? Friends, you are at the market. Under the preaching of the gospel, God opens the market of free grace, and he spreads out his wares. Here the thirsty may drink. Here the hungry may eat. Here the poor may buy without money and price. How long will this market be open for yet? I don't know. You don't know. It may be open for a few more days. It may be open for a longer period yet. But it may also be closing very soon. This I know. There's no time to waste. Soon there will not be a market of free grace anymore, but a judgment hall set up. And the goats will be sent away. And the unbeliever will not be able to buy anymore and receive anymore. And the unbeliever will not just go to bed hungry, which must be terrible, but the unbeliever will go to suffer eternal hunger and eternal thirst in hellfire where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. My unconverted friend, will you keep spending and spending on things that will not satisfy? Or will you today come, receiving without money and without price? Oh yeah, one more thing is, has there ever been buyer's regret? You know, sometimes people talk about buyer's regret. They bought something. Maybe it costs too much. And they think about that later. Or maybe the product that they bought wasn't exactly what they were hoping for. But you know, at this market of free grace, those who have come, bought freely, have never had buyer's regret. They've never regretted coming at this market of free grace to receive His gifts of salvation. The soul may delight itself in fatness. That's no regret, but a joy and a delight. And it says that then I must come now, and I must come continually and receive, and those who have come, and those who have eaten of this grace, and who have drunk of this salvation in Jesus Christ. Maybe you've come only to receive a drop of it. But if you've come to Jesus, you're welcome at the Lord's Supper next Lord's Day. Empty in yourself. Maybe you'll be disappointed with yourself at how empty you will be. But empty is how the Lord wants you to come. Longing for crumbs from the Master's table, drops from His grace, and longing for the eternal feast, the supper of the Lamb, where there will be no more hunger and no more thirst, and Christ will be all in all. Amen. Let us give thanks and pray. O most good-doing, gracious Lord, what a wonder that in the midst of this barren land and barren world, the market of free grace stands open and we may hear the voice of the Son of God calling and offering His goods and His salvation that is in Jesus, the bread of life, the water of life, the milk and wine of peace and joy. And draw us and we will run to Thee. And grant that in this week of preparation for Thy supper, we may resort continually with our emptiness and sinfulness to that fountain of Thy graciousness and find in Thee the hope and the salvation that is freely given for the sake of the Lord Jesus. Pardon our sins, Lord, in preaching and in listening. Bless the Sunday School instruction, junior catechism too, and our fellowship one with another. And forgive us, Lord, and remember us in mercy for Jesus' sake. Amen.